Hi everyone, my name's Nicola Forbes. As you probably just heard, I work for Transport for New South Wales. I work for Transport Shared Services. And what I'm going to talk about today is an information toolkit that we developed, the reasons why we did it. The reasons for it is that it relates to projects. Transport for New South Wales, as you probably know, is in the midst of an extremely large infrastructure spend. And that means that we have a lot of projects happening at the moment. And this toolkit we designed to work with our organisation and the way that our organisation operates. And I thought that I'd share that with you. I'm just going to make sure this works. Okay, so just to give you a bit of a background, you all live in Sydney, so I'm sure you already know all of this and you're experiencing all of it in your day-to-day life, but I'll just go through it. Sydney's population is set to balloon from 5 million to 8 million people, and that will put it on par with global cities like London and the population growth that they're facing. Transport for New South Wales just released their future transport strategy. You can see it online. Basically, they're planning to meet that and to meet that growth through infrastructure across the state. The spend at the moment is around $42.1 billion. We're the third largest spend into the New South Wales economy at the moment. Obviously, that won't last. But right at the moment, the amount of money that transport is putting into the economy through the infrastructure projects is huge. It includes game-changing projects. I think whether you agree with them or not, we can all agree that they impact on the lives of everybody in New South Wales, particularly people in Sydney at the moment, but also in regional New South Wales. Some background to my job. Transport Shared Services provides shared services across the transport cluster. We have up to 27,000 customers. We service on average between 2,000 and 500, about 3,000 requests per month, depending on what month it is. Those requests can be for something really basic, transactional, as in I need an access account for Objective, to something along the lines of we are a new project and we need a new system. For example, when we're talking about Sydney Metro and they decided to go to OpenText, that was a project that took up to 2 years. So when we say requests can be a lot of different things. So we provide services in the traditional sense of transactional services, but we also have an advisory role. So as you can imagine, with all of that innovation, with all of those projects, with all of that work going on, we have customers ringing up who do not understand records and information management, and they often need a lot of assistance. Now, in terms of the projects themselves, Transport for New South Wales and the transport agencies have a very strong established project management structure. If it's in a very large project like Sydney Metro, there will be an authority set up. Often there's a project delivery office set up, or there'll be a small project office set up. So when we wanted to look at how we could help people, we needed to think about very small projects and extremely large projects, and we needed to build something that would help all of those different customers, which was a challenge. The thing I'd say when we're talking about project boards and delivery offices, we're talking about people who are paid a lot of money, are very smart, are very good at what they're doing, they're extremely innovative, and they have very quick schedules, as in they have to start delivering now. When you work in shared services, you rapidly discover the difference between working in an agency and a records management unit and working in shared services. They want your help, they know what they're doing, but they don't necessarily want you to tell them what to do, if that makes sense. It's about respect, I guess. Innovation and risk. So we talked about the risk of innovation. Transport is committed to innovation. It's one of the platforms of transport. It is needed. They need to change Sydney and New South Wales for all of the reasons that we've just talked about. Innovation is the way that they're going to get there. It is not our job to hamper that innovation with compliance. It is not our job to stop them from being innovative with compliance. So the model that you normally use around compliance needs to be changed.
It includes innovative arrangements with private sector delivery parties, partners, as well as the use of cloud-based and other technologies. So I'll just give you an example. Roads and Maritime Services, for easing Sydney's congestion, brought in a private company, dropped it into the middle of RMS with their systems, with their existing systems, operating within the RMS environment, within the RMS building. So you then have, right in the middle of the agency, private sector's employees using their own systems on a very quick delivery schedule, and you have to find information management solutions for that, and that is not use RED RMS. Okay, so it's not that very basic response. There needs to be a targeted response that meets the customer's needs, and you cannot hamper the innovation that they're trying to achieve.
We have major infrastructure projects, but also IT projects, very large IT projects. They produce critical information, which is high risk and high value. It relates to the safety of the public of New South Wales. It relates to very high risk areas. It relates to extremely large spends of money, which is government money. It includes things like community and stakeholder engagement, land acquisition, which, as you know, can be very controversial if you've been following the WestConnex land acquisition. Budgeting and financial information. Transport is in the paper every day, and I mean every day. There is constant information leaks. There are constant GIPA inquiries. It will heat up as we reach the election cycle at the end of this year. And all of that information is what people want to know. How much is spent on WestConnex? What land was acquired? Where's the safety information? Where's the stakeholder engagement? How did you consult with the community? So that information is, as I said, high risk and high value. I see our role is to empower the customer. So that's to empower the cluster to engage in innovation and allow rapid start-up of projects. Okay, so if we look at the risk statement, as everybody knows, records management is just about risk. It's just risk management. I'm making sure that the risks are identified and mitigated to the extent that they can be. The risk statement for projects, they require rapid startup. That means that they are started. As I said, project delivery officers are appointed with people who have a high level expertise and knowledge, usually in engineering or other specialised disciplines. They need to start now. Every day that the CBD is held up is dollars, okay? It's dollars. There's a penalty for every day that they do not meet their deadline. That means they must meet those deadlines or there's financial penalties. For people who are in that situation, do you think they want to sit there and think about information management? Do you think that's the forefront of their thinking? Or are they going to engage staff, engage contractors, get the suppliers out, get working, and just think at that point, well, I'm sure they're managing it on their share drive or somewhere. So information management is one of those things that is not at the forefront of their mind during project startup. Generally speaking, there may be exceptions to that. They enter into contracts immediately, and we're talking multi-million dollar contracts. They undertake tenders, engage contractors, and they employ staff, and then they start building. With IT projects, the other major issue that we find with IT projects, especially now that products are so readily available, is that we often have customers who will buy a product in the cloud by ticking the standard terms and conditions. And as I always say to them, those terms and conditions would be the same for a local hairdresser as for Transport for New South Wales. I don't think so. So there's a lack of understanding there. They want to quickly deliver an IT project and buy a product, and they do not understand that there are particular procurement framework for purchasing cloud-based software in New South Wales government, and particularly for transport. So they're a little bit different, but very similar. People who want to just deliver very quickly. So as I said, Transport, as you know, uses a lot of third-party contractors to deliver the projects. Often that means the information is created and captured outside of Transport for New South Wales, and private companies will have their own compliance models for information. The last
part that I put on this slide, I'm sure you already understand. But the reason I've put it there is because I think, and I always say this to my staff, and it's something you realise when you work in shared services, you must understand the mindset of the people that you're working for. It is not okay to go, as soon as you say your thing, you hear yourself going, but they should. Well, they should have known to do that. They should have. That's about your thoughts. That's not about how they think. You need to understand how they're thinking. If you do not understand how people are thinking, you cannot help them, and your job is to help them. So when you work with four agencies, you quickly realise that's completely different organisational cultures in each one, and the way an organisational culture is set up affects the way they think about information. So we have two sets of customers in that way. We have your standard office environment customer, and we have projects. They do not think in the same way, and they require a different approach. The last point that I put there is that people use information all the time at home. They're used to using information. It pervades our lives. They manage their information in their network drives at home. They come into work and they will just, without thinking about it, as I said, do the same thing, thinking they're doing the right thing. They will buy products as they would at home. So often, when they start the projects and they start ramping up and they start working on it, it wouldn't occur to them that there was anything wrong with people using network drives to manage the information. To give you the example of Sydney Metro, I think they were maybe a year or 2 years into startup before they got a very high-level GIPA and parliamentary inquiry case, could not find the information and needed to pay high-level lawyers about $2 million to get the information. So that was when it hit them, not because they thought they didn't realise they should have been doing something, but because they just start up, they must start up, they must deliver, and often it's not until they're well into the project before they realise that the information is actually everywhere. So this is the risk statement. And how we responded to it was what would happen, and it would happen for different customers in different ways. For RMS regional offices, often, for example, a stage of the Pacific Highway would be built and the regional office would be responsible for that. So say it was Grafton. That stage of the Pacific Highway would complete, the project would wrap up, and the private contractors would hand the information over to the Grafton office, perhaps on a portable share drive, perhaps by email, perhaps on a USB, but they would hand it over. The Grafton Regional Office would then go, oh, and it's a lot of information. I mean, we're talking a lot of information for a $3 million build on the Pacific Highway. Oh, they would then ring Shared Services up and go, we've got all of this information and we need to get it into, in this case, Objective. And we'd say, okay, that's going to cost quite a lot of money. You'll need to map it out of the format it's in now into the structure and objective. Not meaning to be too technical, but hopefully everyone knows what I'm talking about. How much funding have you got? Well, we don't have any funding because the project's finished now and closed and there's no funding. So we thought you'd pay for it. That's one scenario. The other one I talked about was Sydney Metro, where it was more around risk of not being able to respond to queries. The cloud-based ones come into play here, where people have chosen a system that might be TeamBinder. There's a lot of engineering software, which I'm sure you're all aware of. We've closed down the contract with TeamBinder because the project's finished and we no longer have any funding. We need to get the information out of TeamBinder. We can't leave it in the cloud. No, you can't leave it in the cloud. So at that point, they seemed to think it was our responsibility. So it was a matter of changing the way people think because it is too late to do it at the end of a project. It is much too late. It's too late for a small project, when we're just talking about the funding. You could not take something the size of Sydney Metro, which is running for 10 or 15 years, take it in a big package and put it into Objective. That's just not possible. So that model just does not work. And that's what I'm saying about moving out of the EDRMS mindset, which I think a lot of people get stuck in. It's not an EDRMS is not a life raft. It will not save you from every information management issue that you come across. particularly in today's environment. Okay, so we wanted to allow project leads and managers to self-assess. Obviously, it may seem like I have a lot of staff. I have 52 permanent staff. I do not have enough staff to manage the ginormous, mega, chaotic world that is transport. So we needed to find a way that we could make the project managers and the project leads and the project delivery officers responsible for information in exactly the same way. They are responsible for HR, they are responsible for finance, they are responsible for safety. They do not expect to delegate that out, and they should not expect to delegate that out for information management. It must sit in the project itself. We needed to be flexible and scalable so it could fit projects of varying size and complexity. We needed to be able to embed it within generic project frameworks. As you know, in projects they use different methodologies, but they basically follow the same project framework. And we needed to, as I said, include infrastructure and IT projects. So our objectives when we created the toolkit, and like any project, we needed to do a business case that had objectives to get funding. We wanted to make it able to deal with rapid startup so that the people who are actually delivering the project don't need to reinvent the wheel for information management, so that they had a ready set of tools and they could just start working. So to assist in reducing risk to acceptable levels, to identify the high risk, high value information early in the project, that's the normal value add that records management must give, which is identifying the jewels and focusing on the jewels and putting all your money on the jewels and not worrying about the rest of the information as much. To ensure that information security was in place. So information security, I talked about the information leaks. As you know, information security is currently a very high priority for transport for those reasons. To ensure that authentic, reliable information on what is significant state investment and likely to be the most significant state investment for a very long time to come. It certainly has been the most invested in state transport infrastructure since, I don't know, this century. And to provide substantial cost avoidance for the cluster so that we don't get into a situation, as I said, as happened with Sydney Metro, where they had to engage lawyers to find information. So we use the by design principles. Now, I've assumed here that everybody knows what those are. They're in the information management framework for New South Wales government, which you can find on the internet. But we decided that we'd use that by design principles because we wanted to create a compliance, which is really a compliance framework, which was designed into any system. So approach built into the systems, focused on strategic objectives, integrated with relevant systems. Now I'm trying, although I actually have failed, to not mention one EDRMS system during this entire presentation, because it is not about EDRMSs. It was designed so that it can be used in any system. It doesn't matter what the system is. It doesn't matter if it's tool team binder. It doesn't matter if it's Ansara. It doesn't matter what the system is. Focused on short and long-term needs, and it was designed for continuous improvement. Now, before I go any further, this was the business case part of it. At that point, we actually contracted out, and Record Keeping Innovation won that tender, and they designed the toolkit for us, and I said I'd mention Wendy because she's here, and Wendy was part of that team who designed the toolkit for us with Record Keeping Innovation. I'm also going to mention our customers. So it wasn't just us. RMS, Transport for New South Wales, Sydney Metro, Infrastructure and Services were all very generous in their time and provided input when we did design the toolkit. So the elements that are in the toolkit, so when you look at it, it probably looks like a lot of documents, but they're actually documents which provide compliance elements to assist people. They allow project managers and leads to assess their risk to determine the level of governance and monitoring. So if you've got a tiny project that relates to, for example, a help desk for IT, and you want to buy a system for the help desk for IT, you've got low value, low risk information. you're not going to have the same compliance requirements as you would if you were buying, building the fleet maintenance check that reported on safety before the fleet left the platform, or if you were reporting on the competency of a bus driver or a train driver, something along those lines. Does that make sense? So the first step is assess what your risk is and whether you need to spend a lot of money and a lot of time, or perhaps in this case, you would still check it, but not so much. Governance is the standard governance which you normally have, but it's specifically related to projects. Often for engineering projects, if anyone's worked in them, they have a particular governance framework which relates to standards. So they have a set of standards for safety, information management would just fall in with that. And the governance framework allows them to embed that into their existing framework. A software assessment, which is where people want to consider using software, doesn't have to be an EDRMS, but allows them to check whether it's appropriate or not appropriate. A content structure, which is what you would normally call your file plan. And also an information security model attached to the file plan. Now, we do use that. It's very large, so it can also be chunked down, so we can use it to roll up the file plan if it needs to be smaller. And it's quite interesting actually using it, the opinions that you get coming back, but it has been extremely useful. Asset register, which is normal, self-assessment checklist, and the handover plan guidelines. Now, the reason we put this in at the beginning is so that we don't get to the end and they go, oh, I didn't realise I needed to do a handover. For infrastructure projects, Asset Standards Authority actually specifies what people have to do to manage those assets, information assets, but it's been very clear at the beginning. At the end of this project, you're going to have sufficient funding, you're going to have to think about where you want this information to go, and you're going to have to design your system to allow it to match with where you want it to go at the end of the project. This is how it looks graphically, and you can see it's a sort of a circle. So you start out with your risk assessment, have your governance, define your accountabilities, adapt your tools, do training, implement monitoring, and round it goes. So I suppose the final slide I wanted to talk about is how are we adding value? And I think if you can't have a value statement and you can't identify why you're adding value, you should not be there. Okay, so what is shared services role? As I said, we do not work in the agencies. There are extremely competent records management people who work in each of the agencies. And they're there to manage the agency viewpoint on records management and to make sure that that records management vision fits with their business plan and with their culture. So why are we there? Sometimes we're able to see, I guess I'm saying there, the forest, because we stand outside of the particular agency, so we have a transport-wide vision, and we can often see where RMS and Sydney Trains, for example, have exactly the same issue, and we can develop toolkits that can help all of the agencies across. We're able to develop cluster-wide solutions which offer value for money. For example, at the moment we're going out for one provider for off-site storage services. We pay $3 million a year for that at the moment. Sorry, having one provider we're hoping will enable us to leverage our volume to get cost reduction for all of the agencies. We hope to support and empower innovation in the business. So identifying risks and providing ways to mitigate those risks rather than saying no, or you can't do that, or you must use an EDRMS, or we must hamper you in such a way, we don't see that as our role. As I said, we need to be scalable and repeatable. So this is an example where we developed something that could be scaled up or down and wasn't agency specific. We try and embed everything into the business because, as I said, we are shared services, we're not the business. We need to embed it back into the business, and that's where it usually works the best. We try not to be too controlling, so once they take the toolkit and they change it in some way that suits their project, that's fine. As long as at the beginning they've understood the risks, they've understood the issues, and they're working to mitigate those risks. as I said, needs to be a value add. It needs to be project and user friendly and not seen as adding an additional compliance burden which impacts on delivery. And we had a supporting internal communications strategy which talks about information as being an asset, a vital transport asset, protects our infrastructure and our people. It provides continuity from our past and informs our future. It transmits ideas and innovation and enables us to collaborate and build a new future. And that's it.